Certain statements in this presentation may contain assumptions or forecasts with respect to forthcoming events with Bashneft Group. The words expect, estimate, intend, will, could, negations thereof, and similar expressions identify forward-looking statements. We wish to caution you that these statements are only predictions and that actual events or results may differ materially. We do not intend to update these statements to reflect events and circumstances occurring after the above-mentioned date or to reflect the occurrence of unanticipated events. Many factors could cause the actual results of Bashneft Group to differ materially from those contained in our projections or forward-looking statements, including, among others, general economic conditions, our competitive environment, risk associated with operating in Russia, rapid technological and market changes in our industries, as well as many risks specifically related to Bashneft Group. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Head of IR, Maria Rudina. Please go ahead, Mom.
Good morning or good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our results conference call, and I would like to thank Morgan Stanley for organizing this call. Traditionally, we will start with opening remarks to be made by our CEO, Alexander Korsik, and our CFO, Denis Stankevich. And then Igor Marchenko, our VP for Strategy and Development, will say a couple of words about recent Burnyftigaz acquisition. And then traditionally, we will answer to all your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, good evening, good morning. It's a pleasure to talk to you again. I'll give a brief review of our operational results, and after that, Denis Stankevich will give you an in-depth knowledge of our financials. First of all, I would like to mention that we are fulfilling our promises. If you recall our previous conference call 1 year ago, when we were reporting on 2012 results, we promised that we will maintain production in our brownfields at the same level. In fact, we have increased it by 2.2%. In accordance with our promises, we put TREPS and Titov fields into production in August last year. And again, we promised 300,000 tons of production. We had a production of 291,000, which is not much different from what we promised. Today we received official results of CDU TEC, governmental body which provides information on production by different companies, and our result from March to March is increasing production by 7.9%. Hopefully we are the leaders in Russia in this respect. Some other things which probably not that important but vital for us. Last year we put into operation the center of distant monitor of drilling, which uses satellite technologies and which allows to monitor most important wells of Bashneft wherever they are located, either in Bashkiria, Orenburg, Tatarstan, or in Nenets Autonomous Region, to monitor these wells 24 hours a day. And the dedicated team of geologists, petrophysicists, and other high-class specialists are doing this job. And it brings us very significant results in terms of increased flow rates of our new wells, which are quite complicated. We continue to modernize our refineries. Nelson index increased from 855 to 883 due to the fact that we put into operation alkylation unit and we finished the construction of hydrocracker. We planned to refine 20 to 21 million tons of crude. In fact, we refined 21.4, and this number is based purely on macroeconomic situation in the markets, both in Russian market and in our export markets. This figure is defined only by maximum amount of EBITDA we can receive from our refineries. We increased production of light products from 59.7 to 60.4. despite the fact that we were using primary processes of refining which were not backed up by secondary processes. We increased production of gasoline Euro 4, Euro 5 from 73% to 88% in 2013. We continued to the program of rebranding of our retail stations. We finished 23% of retail stations in terms of rebranding. It's 111 stations within 2013, the first quarter of this year. And we put into production our branded fuel, which is called Atom, and which became quite popular in our retail stations. As you know, as you are well aware, oil prices are somewhat lower in 2013 than in 2012 by approximately 2.3%. And you are well aware that excise duties increased significantly for fuels of Euro 4 and Euro 5 standards. Nevertheless, on even with this not very positive economic developments, we managed to increase our EBITDA by 2.5%. Due to good financial results and I would say healthy financial standing of the company, we managed to pay probably highest dividends in our history. It's 223 rubles per share, which consists of dividends paid for 2012 and for preliminary dividends for 2013 for 9 months. Major corporate events. We at last sold all our non-core assets. I mean United Petrochemical Company, our services, and our minority stake in Belkomneft, which was not bringing us any money and which was not going to bring us any money in the future. And ultimately, we started the final major process of restructuring of Bashneft. It means elimination of cross-holding which of Bashneft shares through the company which is called Sistema Invest. On the 3rd of February of this year, shareholders approved this organization. On the 20th of March, we stopped receiving the requests from shareholders about the buyback of their shares. We'll pay 17.9 billion rubles for buyback of the shares. We'll buy out 8.9 million preferred shares and 2.7 million of ordinary shares. I'd like to mention that all preferred shares which will be purchased by the company will be cancelled, as we promised, and we'll keep ordinary shares on the balance of the company for potential strategic developments which we are quite well aware of. I would like to stress that we didn't put our own preferred shares, which are on the balance sheet of Bashneft, for buyback. As a result of this restructuring, earnings per share and dividends per share will increase approximately by 25%. Within the nearest couple of weeks, we'll finalize the payments for the shares which were put for buyback. We confirm that the plan to finalize restructuring before the 1st of July is in place, but we'll try to make it as fast as possible, but definitely before the 1st of July, organization will be fully finished. About potential dividends in 2014. I'm not dividing dividends into dividends for 2013 or for preliminary dividends for some part of 2014. I would like to stress that the decision about the dividends will be made on the meeting of the Board of Directors on 22nd of April. And company's financial standing allows us to continue to pay very healthy dividends. But again, the final decision will be made by the board of directors and after that during the meeting of shareholders. The general shareholders meeting is planned for the first part of July. First part of June. We'll finalize the list of shareholders which have the right to get the dividends in the second part of June, and we'll pay all the dividends in July, of course, after all necessary decisions are taken by the general shareholders meeting. Briefly about our plans for 2014. Brownfields. Again, we plan to maintain production in brownfields approximately at the same level. I mean the level of 2013, not of 2012, 2013. In Treps and Titov, we plan to produce approximately 900,000 tons of crude in accordance with our previous forecast. We confirm this forecast. You know that we purchased the company which is called Burf Neftigaz. Right now the forecast is between 700,000 to 800,000 tons of production for this year, but this needs to be confirmed because we need to apply our own practices to create a detailed hydrodynamic model, and we'll come with the ultimate figure a little bit later. But again, 700,000 to 800,000 tons looks like reasonable production for this year. In terms of refining, we're not going to increase or decrease or reduce refining utilization radically. Everything depends on the economics. If the markets are right, I mean both Russian and export markets will definitely increase refining volume, but it will be approximately in line with what we have achieved last year. About our CAPEX, I believe Denis Stankevich, our CFO, will give you some details about that. Our major task for 2014. Except for maintaining production at the same level to our brownfields, it's Treps and Titov project, which is really important for the company and which is a kind of a driver for the future of the company. It's a full-scale integration of Bur Neftigaz. It's a very good company, but of course we need to streamline all operations in line with our practices, and we hope very much that the practices we are using are kind of the best in the industry. License for Treps and Titov. I think you are aware that amendments were made to this license. We have a new license right now, and right now we're starting a process of transferring the license to our joint venture with Lukoil, which is called Bashneftpolyus, in line with previous agreements with Lukoil. This year we'll finish the construction of the unit of hydrotreatment of gasoline, and we'll finish a very important hydrogen unit which would allow us to increase the production of light products. In terms of, with respect to commercial unit, we'll continue our program of rebranding. Those are major highlights of last year and major directions of our planning for this year. And I'll pass the word to Denis Stankevich, who will give you details of our financials. And after the report of Denis and the report of Igor Marchenko, I'll be happy to try to answer your questions. Thank you very much.
Добрый день, добрый вечер, дамы и господа. Несколько слов про макроэкономическую ситуацию в четвертом квартале и 2013 года относительно 2013 года.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I would start by saying a few words about the macroeconomic context in Q4 of 2013 with respect to 2013 and 14.
По четвертому кварталу относительно третьего мы наблюдали более низкую цену на нефть 109,2 доллара за баррель против 110,3 в третьем квартале при курсе доллара 32,5 против 32,8 в третьем квартале 2013 года.
With respect to Q4 as compared to Q3, we witnessed a lower crude price, which was $109.2 per barrel against the $110 in Q3, against the dollar exchange rate being at 32.5 against the 32.8 in Q3 of 2014.
Кроме того, в четвертом квартале действовала более высокая экспортная пошлина, которая догоняла пошлину с предыдущих значений, и все это вместе сформировало более худший макроэкономический сценарий для четвертого квартала относительно третьего квартала 2013 года.
Besides, we recall that in Q4 there was a high export duty, which was catching up on the export duty from previous levels, and all of this put together created a worse macroeconomic scenario for Q4 as opposed to Q3 in 2013.
Если говорить сравнение год к году, то цена на нефть в 2013 году также была ниже, чем цена в 2012 году, $108.7 за баррель против $111.7 за баррель. И курс доллара был немного выше, 31.8 против 31.1 в 2012 году.
And separately, speaking comparison-wise year by year, then the oil price in 2013 was also lower than what we remember in 2012, which was $108.7 against $111.7 per barrel, against the dollar exchange rate, which was somewhat higher, $31.8 against $31.1 back in 2012.
Кроме того, как уже отмечал Александр Корсик, в 2013 году действовали более высокие ставки акциза на моторное топливо и более высокий уровень нагрузки налога НДПИ. Тем не менее, по результатам выручки EBITDA и операционной прибыли мы сработали в 2013 году лучше, чем в 2012.
And similarly, as was previously stated by Alexander Korsik, in 2012 there were higher excise levies for motor fuels and also a higher level of burden in terms of taxes and MET. But nevertheless, based on the revenue, EBITDA and operational income, the company did a better work in 2013 compared to the results of 2012.
Другие важные параметры, повлиявшие на финансовые результаты компании в 2013 году, это деконсолидация компаний Объединенная нефтехимическая компания и компании Башнефть-сервисные активы, а также изменившиеся операционные затраты на добычу и переработку нефти.
Other events, which were important and which affected the financials of the company in 2013, were deconsolidation of the United Petrochemical Company and the Bashneft Oil Services, and as well as the changing operational expenses for the production and refining of crude.
Вы, наверное, заметили в нашей отчетности, что затраты на добычу нефти значительно увеличились на 19.2%. Основные причины этому такие. Это проведение геолого-технических мероприятий, сейсморазведка, более высокие первоначальные затраты на месторождения Хребса и Титова и выполнение части мероприятий, таких как модернизация трубопроводов за счет ОПЕКСа вместо КАПЕКСа.
You might have noticed, reading our reports, that the oil production costs have considerably gone up by 19.2%. The main reasons behind it are such as the geological and technical work than seismic exploration higher than the originally thought expenses that were involved with Treps and Titov field, as well as a performance of some of the activities such as oil pipeline upgrading using OPEX instead of CAPEX expenses.
В переработке затраты год к году не выросли, а даже сократились на 4%. Я имею в виду удельные затраты на переработку нефти. Единственное, на что стоит обратить внимание, это довольно большой рост четвертого квартала относительно третьего. Это объясняется высокой концентрацией ремонтов, проводимых на заводах именно в этот период времени.
In the area of refining, our quartz didn't show any growth year on year, even when some were down by 4%. I mean, the average refining costs in this particular case. The only thing which is worth noting is a high growth registered in Q4 compared to Q3, which is explained by a high concentration of maintenance work done at the refinery, specifically during this period.
Чистая прибыль. По динамике чистой прибыли вы видите, что она ниже, чем в предыдущий год, но здесь сработало то one-off событие, о котором мы уже рассказывали на звонке по итогам третьего квартала, а именно переоценка 38% пакета акций Белкомнефти, который в последующем был продан. Если это one-off событие не учитывать, то чистая прибыль предприятия была бы больше, чем в предыдущий год.
And with respect to the net profit of the company, following the net profit dynamics, you could see that it is lower than during the previous year, but here is the effect of the one-off event which we told you about during the teleconference dedicated to the third quarter, which is the revaluation of the 38% stock of Belkomneft, which subsequently was divested from. If this particular one-off event is not to be taken into account, the net profit would have been higher than during the previous year.
Также считаем нужным пояснить довольно высокую эффективную ставку налога на прибыль в четвертом квартале 2012 года и по 2013 года и по году в целом. Это связано с двумя вещами. В первую очередь это тот эффект от перекрестного владения акциями Башнефти через систему Инвест и то налогообложение, которое мы вынуждены платить в силу этого перекрестного владения при выплате дивидендов. И второе – это влияние, окончательное влияние реорганизации при переходе на единую акцию на ставку отложенного налога. Если говорить про вторую часть моего пояснения, то на реальный кэш-аут от компании это не повлияло, поскольку это влияние чисто бухгалтерской проводки.
And I would deem it necessary to explain quite a high effective tax profit rate in Q4 from 2012 until 2013 and fully considering the year results, which is explained by two things. Firstly, this comes from the effect which is generated by the cross ownership of shares of Bashneft through Sistema Invest and the taxation which we have to pay because of this gross ownership at the point of dividend payout. And secondly, this is the final effect through reorganization by switching into the single share through the deferred tax rate. So specifically talking about the second part of my explanation, that didn't affect the real cash out from the company because that specifically was registered on the accounts as the an entry.
Несколько слов о капексе в сравнении с нашими предыдущими прогнозами. Касательно зрелых месторождений, мы делали предположение, что потратим примерно 15 миллиардов на капекс на зрелых месторождениях. Эта цифра получилась значительно ниже, а именно 11,5 миллиардов. Самое главное влияние здесь оказал тот факт, о котором я уже упоминал, а именно проведение программы реконструкции трубопроводов за счет ОПЕКСа. И именно поэтому был увеличен наш ОПЕКС на зрелых
месторождениях. Made assumptions that we would spend approximately 15 billion for our capex covering our brownfields. This figure turned out to be much lower, and 11.5 billion to be more exact. The biggest effect here came from the fact that I referred to you to specifically, that is the pipeline upgrading program at the OPEX expenses, and that is why our OPEX with pertaining to the brownfields grew.
Если говорить про капекс на Трепсе и Титове, также вложения оказались несколько ниже наших прогнозов. Связано это с тем, что прогнозы делались еще в низкой степени готовности проектов. Я имею в виду строительные проекты, и по результатам их разработки и принятия дополнительных инженерных решений, а также решений о стадиях проведения этих капитальных вложений, нам удалось истратить на капекс на ТРЭПС в Титове меньше, нежели мы предполагали первоначально.
And now speaking about our TREPS and TTOF capital expenditure, which turned out to be somewhat lower than our forecasts, which can be explained by the fact that these forecasts were being made during the lower level of readiness of the project, and here I mean the construction component of the overall project, and based on the results of their execution as well as additional engineering solutions as well as our decision about different stages of capital spending, we managed to spend on TREPS and TTOF less than what we originally had intended.
Переработки и коммерции более низкое значение капекса относительно ожиданий объясняется в первую очередь более поздним запуском программы ребрендинга на наших ритейловых станциях. Дело в том, что сам проект ребрендинга стартовал в то время, когда ему было и положено, но мы больше времени потратили на подготовительные работы, я имею в виду на формализацию нашей программы, проведение закупочных процедур и непосредственно закуп оборудования. Это дало нам возможность сжать саму программу, и теперь мы будем ее проводить в более короткие сроки, что также имеет положительный эффект, поскольку ведет к менее короткому простою каждой станции на время ребрендинга.
With respect to refining and marketing, again a lower capex level as opposed to expectations, which can be explained first of all by a delayed launching of the rebranding program for our retail station. Matter is that the rebranding program itself started as expected on within the expected period, but we spent more time for the preparation, I mean here for the formalization of the program, for holding all of the procurement activities and the launching of the rebranding activity itself, which enabled us to compress the program itself, and so currently we are planning to do it within a shorter period of time, which will generate another positive effect leading to a shorter downtime per every retail station during the rebranding activity.
Наш прогноз по капексу на 2014 год – это 15 миллиардов на месторождение Браунфилд, 18 миллиардов на вложение ТРЭПС Титова – это на весь проект в целом, не только в нашей доле, и 15 миллиардов на переработку и коммерцию.
Our outlook for capex for 2014 is 15 billion. For our brownfields, 18 billion for investments into TREPS and TTOF, covering the whole projects, not only our share, and 15 billion for refining and marketing.
И в завершение несколько слов про долг компании. Долг компании снизился за 2013 год со 110 до 91 миллиарда рублей. Чистый долг также на конец года ниже, чем на его начало. Компания в течение всего года работала не только над величиной, но и над структурой долга и его структурой как по валюте, так и по продолжительности. И, как нам кажется, нам удалось на конец года сформировать очень хороший и устойчивый долговой портфель. Наши усилия в этом направлении были оценены рейтинговыми агентствами. Вы знаете, что в прошлом году мы получили Positive Outlook от агентства Fitch, и совсем недавно Positive Outlook был подтвержден на заседании соответствующего комитета, несмотря на нестабильную политическую обстановку в стране в целом.
And in conclusion, a few words about our debt profile. The debt during 2013 went from down from 110 down to 91 billion rubles. The net debt, similarly, by the end of the year, is lower than what it was in the beginning. Throughout the whole year, the company worked not only at the size of the debt, but also over its structure in terms of the currency component as well as the maturity. And we feel that by the end of the year, we were able to come up with quite an acceptable and stable and positive debt portfolio. Our efforts were appreciated by the rating agencies. You might recall that last year we were given positive outlook by Fitch Ratings, and recently this positive outlook was again confirmed during the session of the company's ratings committee, despite an unstable political environment generally.
Я передаю слово Игорю Марченко с более подробным объяснением той сделки, которая недавно совершена.
And now I would like to pass the floor over to Igor Marchenko, who will tell us more details about the transaction which the company entered into recently.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I will give you a few more highlights on transaction which was done actually last week. So we have paid $1 billion for the 53 million tons of the reserves in accordance with C1 plus C2 Russian classification, and it supplies about 2.6 dollars per barrel of C1 plus C2. Actually, we have purchased four licenses. Two licenses, it's long producing license for two fields. One of them has existing production. It's Sarovskaya field, and another one, Tartasinskaya field, which is located close to Khantamansiysk, has two satellites acreage, which has five years exploration licenses. Actually, all the licenses were acquired by state-held auctions by the company. The company was founded in 2005. Sarovskaya field has current production, which was mentioned by Alexander Korsak already, is 300,000 tons per annum, and we have ambitions for 2014 to increase the production up to 700,000 per annum. What else? Actually, Sarovskaya field has connection to Transneft pipeline system, so it's not a problem for us to forward crude oil through Transneft pipeline. This acquisition is totally in line with existing Bashneft strategy, which implies maximization of reserve base from organic and non-organic growth in upstream segment. So I think that's more or less all for the Burneft gas. So if you have some detailed questions, please.
So, and now we would like to start a Q&A session.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, it's star 1 to ask a question. Your first question comes from the line of Matthew Thomas. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone, and congratulations on the results and the acquisition last week. My question actually is with regards to the acquisition, the Burneft gas asset, and kind of following on to the comments that that management has just given about it. I was hopeful you could provide some color on sort of your interest historically in this asset. When did you start looking at it? Was this a matter of sort of opportunistically striking, or is it something that you've looked at for some time? Secondly, Could you provide a little more color on the adjacent areas around the license, the licenses that you bought? Is there scope here for expanding the C1, C2 resource base further? And thirdly, if you could comment more generally on the state of the M&A market for reserves in Russia today, over the course of the past year. Do you see that market softening, getting firmer? Is it a good time if you have cash or resources to be buying barrels, or is it best to stay away? And you know, and how do you really see your interest in future acquisitions in the market evolving over the next year? Thank you.
I think I will reply. I will give a reply to this question. About the history of the purchase. In fact, we started to look at these assets, I don't remember for how long, but at least 1 year ago, at least 1 year ago, probably a bit more. There were different stages of negotiations, and they came to an active phase quite recently, and as a result, we were able to buy this asset, which we believe is really good. About adjacent areas, I believe we still have a lot to do in the field which is producing in Sorosky field. We have a lot to do in another field for which we have a production license, and we have two licenses for exploration. So even not to mention adjacent areas, there is a significant potential, but I don't want to give you any numbers or any promises because we need to do a real, really hard work, very detailed work, modeling, 3D seismic, drilling exploration wells, et cetera. After that, we'll see. To say out of hand whether adjacent areas are good or bad, it's next to impossible. Of course, we'll be looking to adjacent areas because if we have an asset located somewhere, adjacent areas are a natural solution for further improvements of the assets. As to the market of mergers and acquisitions in Russia, I believe it's still overheated. We are players in this market for quite a long time, and there are very few assets which were of interest for us, and this Burgnyftegaz asset was one of them, and we were lucky enough to be able to make a deal. As to the future, we'll continue to do the same as we were doing before. We'll continue to look into upstream assets, both producing assets and greenfields. But as usual, our decisions will be always based on the same investment criteria. If NPV of the project is higher than zero, if IRR is higher than our discount rate, we'll buy. If not, we're not going to buy. It's the only criteria which we're using. Fortunately, Burgnyftegaz was in line with our criteria. The size of the company is significant, both in terms of reserves and in terms of future production, so we believe we're quite lucky to get hold of this asset. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Anton Fedotov from Bank of America. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon. My congratulations on the excellent set of results and the recent acquisition. I have two questions. My first question relates to the dividends. Am I correct that the board of directors in the end of April may decide on the dividend payment? That you cannot basically rule out the final dividend for the remaining 3 months of 2013. And my second question is about Burgnyftegaz. What's the expected CapEx for Burgnyftegaz this year, and is it included into the 15 billion ruble figure for the upstream? Thank you.
First question about dividends. Yes, you're absolutely right. On the 22nd of April, the board of directors will make a decision about the dividends. Again, I am not entitled to speak on behalf of the board, especially on behalf of the general meeting of the shareholders. But I would like to stress that the company is financially very healthy, and you can make your own judgment looking at our results, looking at our cash flow, looking at our quite low debt level at the end of last year. You can add to this amount, of course, the purchase price for Bur Neftigaz, and you can make your own calculation of what company can afford to pay dividends based on the assumption that we're not going to increase debt-to-EBITDA level to beyond something which we find acceptable to ourselves. I believe dividends can be quite healthy. Company can do it. But again, the decision will be made by the board of directors and after that by general shareholders meeting. About CapEx, Denis, will you reply?
Maybe I can.
As
far as all the development program of Bur Neftigaz is concerned, it's still subject for our review and consideration of our geologists and development people. But as far as 14 CapEx is concerned, its estimate is about 4 billion rubles. And it's not included in our existing budget so far.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Andrei Kormagin from JP Morgan. Please ask your question.
Good evening. Relatively good results. My congratulations. Three questions, if I may. Relatively simple ones. First one, on TREPS and Titov, why 1P and 3P reserve base is still so low, and when do you plan to specify or to increase this base going forward? Second, on this new debt, the company raised 54 billion rubles on the market, I suppose, for acquisitions and for this acquisition and share buyback. The report states that it's mostly short-term loans. Could you please clarify when do you plan to refinance that, and if it will be impossible to refinance, will it impact your dividend payment plans this year? And finally, on dividend, you said that financial position is quite healthy and we could expect generous dividends. Is my understanding correct that first you would advise some numbers to the board based on all your knowledge of current financial situation and short-term outlook? If it is correct, what would be your recommendation, just roughly? Would it be 1 billion rubles, 10 billion rubles? Thank you.
Jay, thank you very much for your very short three questions. I think Denis Stankevich will give you an answer about the debt. I'll try to give an answer about TREPS and Titov and about dividends. As to TREPS and Titov, 3P reserves in accordance with international audit. This amount depends almost 100% on the stage of development of the field. International auditors of the reserves cannot put higher amount of reserves on our balance at the current stage of development, so it's all the matter for the future. As soon as field is being developed, as soon as new wells are going to be drilled, the reserves will increase. I just want to remind you that in Russian classification, the reserves, if I'm not mistaken, are 140 million tons recoverable, which is basically like 1 billion barrels of recoverable reserves. We're not worried about this low number. It doesn't affect anything. The number will increase dramatically in the very short future. About dividends, you're absolutely right. Financial position is healthy. You're absolutely right. We're going to advise the board of directors, but again, the decision will be taken by the board. If you want to understand the guidelines in line with which we are going to make an advice, it means that we don't need any cash in our accounts, which is not necessary to pay CapEx, OpEx to make any major acquisitions which are not forthcoming for the time being, to make, and in fact, that's all. Everything which is left belongs to the shareholders. And there is always a limit in what we can pay to shareholders at debt to EBITDA level. Based on this, I'm pretty sure you can make your own calculation and make a prediction. Especially if you look into the history of Bashneft, you will see that we're always trying to pay everything which was not needed for the company, which we were trying to pay to the shareholders. I hope I have answered your question. Now it's time for Denis to answer about the new debt.
Я немного дополню ответ на первый вопрос. Дело в том, что, как вы знаете, мы переводим лицензию на совместное предприятие. Это позволит нам немедленно свои отношения с Лукойлом по их инфраструктуре сделать более продолжительными, то есть заключить долгосрочный договор. И это сразу повлияет на оценку наших запасов, и они появятся. Вы знаете технологию того, как оценивает запасы Marilyn Lens, и, собственно, вот отсутствие этого договора в промежуточной ситуации влияет на оценку этих запасов. Это небольшое дополнение к первому вопросу.
Let me first elaborate on the first question and Mr. Korsak's answer to it. The thing is, as you might know, we are currently transferring the license to the joint venture so as to immediately put in a proper perspective our relationship with Lukoil as far as the infrastructure is concerned, to make it more long-lived and enter into a long-term contract, because that would positively affect our evaluation of our reserves. Because as deemed by Miller and Lance, you know that the lack of this interim report on the reserves does somewhat hold us back in terms of the proper estimation and putting it on the balance.
По второму вопросу вы совершенно правы. Фактически мы используем для приобретения существующие у нас возможности по коротким линиям, и деньги привлечены на короткий срок. И этот короткий срок составляет год. В течение этого года мы проведем все необходимые мероприятия для того, чтобы сделать рефинансирование долгов более продолжительное и прийти примерно к тому же состоянию, на каком мы были в начале этого года. Я имею в виду состояние с точки зрения распределения погашения долга по годам в будущем.
And as far as the second question is concerned, you, again, are quite correct, because effectively, for the acquisition of the currently that we have, we used the short lines, and so we borrowed for a short period of time, and so this short period of time is 12 months, within which we will undertake all the necessary activities in order to turn the refinancing of our debts into a longer now period, so as to come back to almost exactly the kind of situation where we were in the very beginning of the year. And by the situation, I mean the distribution of the repayment of debts over the years in the future.
Еще хотел бы дополнить следующим тезисом. Мы всегда говорили, что приемлемый для компании уровень долга составляет 2 EBITDA, и тот уровень, который мы держали до сегодняшней ситуации, предполагал возможности осуществления быстрой сделки M&A, в том числе с использованием заемного капитала. Ровно то, что мы говорили, мы сейчас и сделали, ну а то, что я сказал перед этим, просто связано технической корректировкой этого долга в более приемлемой для компании конфигурации.
And another explanation that I would like to offer is that we always used to say that an acceptable level of debt for the company was EBITDA 2, and so the level which we capped until the current situation envisaged the capability of going into a quick M&A transaction utilizing the borrowed capital. So we did exactly what we used to say, and my previous explanation is related to a technical adjustment of the stat to bring it into a more acceptable configuration.
Большое спасибо.
Your next question comes from the line of Ivan Kromoshin from Gazprom Bank. Please ask your question.
Yes, good evening. Thank you for your time and for opportunity to ask questions. So I have questions. First is, what is the geology of Burnaftegaz? And actually, what is the quality of reserves, whether it is conventional or simple to produce or not, or quite complex? The second question is, what are the major projects in refining for the next 2 years, the largest one? So any plans to still build hydrocracker or just completely refuse it, such plans? And the third question is the outlook for increase of development drilling in Bashkiria for next 2 years also, whether it needed or still can be done like it is currently. Thank you.
Ivan, the first question about the geology of Burnaftegaz. If I asked the same question, and if I ask Mr. Krasnevsky to respond to this, it would have taken 24 hours, 35 seconds approximately to answer. It's impossible to answer. In fact, it's, I would say, traditional crude. I can't say whether reservoir is easy or complicated. It's a normal reservoir for Western Siberia, as long as I know. Our geologists feel quite confident that they will be able to extract enough oil at the costs which we have predicted in order to achieve positive NPV in this project. But I believe we can have a separate discussion on this issue, and we can give you more flavor after we have more in-depth knowledge of the fields. About refining modernization. Major project which is forthcoming is third delayed coker, which we are definitely going to build. About hydrocracker, the decision will be made later this year. We're still in the process of deciding whether we can find a way of spending less capex, which is necessary for the construction of hydrocracker, on just improving our existing units. The technical study is being made with one of the major engineering companies. I don't want to give you the name because it will look like advertising, but this is being done, and in the second part of the year we'll make a final decision about the hydrocracker. About the increase of development drilling in Bashkiria, yes. At last, we are ready to increase development drilling. During previous years, we were telling you that we are preparing for that. We were drilling some wells, but we wanted to have everything ready for drilling a larger number of wells. And right now, we feel quite sure that we'll be able to achieve very significant flow rates in a much larger number of wells, which we have drilled before. It's due to additional 3D seismic done in the fields, and due to in-depth hydrodynamic modeling, and we understand exactly what we're going to achieve within the forthcoming years. After that, it remains to be seen. Of course, we'll not be able to continue indefinitely to increase the amount of drilling. You know, those are brown fields, but nevertheless, for nearest couple of years, the amount of wells drilled, development drills will be increased.
If I may have a short follow-up, it is mostly intended to replace declining production, or it is mostly additional production volumes?
Ivan, as you remember, I mentioned that the plan for this year is to maintain production at the level of the previous year in our brown fields. And if you remember, the same promise was made a year ago. And as you have heard from me, we have done slightly better than we have promised. So you can make your own assumptions about what is going to happen.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Ildar Davletshin from RenCap. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon. Thank you for this opportunity. I'd like to ask several questions. So the first on the, you mentioned the drilling performance during your last answer, and it's indeed quite impressive. Can you just talk a little bit more in terms of the who you're working with in terms of the suppliers and what is the overall situation in the oil field market? Do you expect or do you see the risk of potential shortage of availability of rigs or high prices, maybe not in Bashkiria, but in Western Siberia, where you already, where you started expanding? And my second question, you mentioned that treasury shares, the common shares, as I understand, will not be cancelled, and you plan to keep it for your strategic purposes. Is it right to assume that it's planned to be sold at potential SPO in London? And if that's the plan, is it still the plan? And when do you plan to do it? And then on Burgund Neftegaz, do you have a rough peak capacity, like plateau output at plateau level, very roughly? Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you very much for your questions about drilling. We have Gazprom Burenie in Trebsintitov. You know the company, Gazprom is just the name. It's not a subsidiary of Gazprom. It's an independent company. It was chosen through the tender process, and it's really qualified and is doing a good job. In Bashkiria, we are mostly using the services of a company which is called Bashneftburenie, which used to be the part of the group, and right now it's part of Sistema Group, and we are thinking about bringing other service providers, because we are drilling more and more quite complicated and very sophisticated wells, and in order to drill these wells we need proper service providers. You have an absolutely right question about the market for services in Russia. I would say that there are more than enough services, but very few service companies which satisfy our standards. It relates to seismic, it relates to drilling, it relates to other services. For the time being, we do not see any major problem in this market. We were able, and I hope we'll be able, to find proper service providers which for reasonable price, I'm not saying for lowest price, for reasonable price, will do a job in accordance with our request for the quality. I feel quite safe at the moment. I believe we'll be able to find service providers of necessary quality. About our ordinary shares, you mentioned SPO. We still no formal decisions are made. Still, it's one of the options of the development of the company, and ordinary shares wouldn't be an obstacle for any kind of this kind of development. But again, I stress that we cancel all the preferred shares which are acquired through buyback. And the last question, I think I missed it.
The last was on the
capacity of Burneftegaz.
Peak capacity of Burneftegaz. We understand the fields right now, based on our current knowledge, we can look at something in the vicinity of 2 million tons of production per year. But again, it can change. Like, for example, our earlier predictions in Bashkiria changed. As soon as we get more information, we'll be able to have a more accurate number. For the time being, it looks like peak capacities, peak production looks like 2 million tons per year. Thank you.
Right, thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Grigory Berg from InvestCafe. Please ask your question.
Hello, thank you very much for the presentation and your time. I have several questions relating to the plans for development of Trebsintitov field as well as the Burneftegaz assets. Is the oil produced by these assets going to be exported in full, or is part of it going to be refined and I'd like to hear, if possible, what export facilities are going to be used. Is it Vrande or perhaps a terminal in Murmansk region, which Sistema was looking to buy? And if some volumes are going to be refined, what refineries are going to be used? So, as I said, this refers to Trebsenstova and Burnyftegaz. Also relating to that, to the extent, given the fact that refining capacity is higher than production level, are you going to continue to purchase crude on the internal market rather than send crude from new assets to your own refineries in Bashkiria? Last question is on the sources of funds for the purchase of Burnyftegaz. Specifically, maybe I didn't hear what portion of that $1 billion was paid for using debt financing. Thank you.
First of all, Treps and Titov, if we look into the history of the project, initially we were thinking about two ideas, either to go south, transportation of crude, and to join the existing Transneft pipeline, or to make an arrangement and to use Vrande. Ultimately, on the basis of economics, which is much better in case we use Vrande, and which allowed us to start production in the field 4 years earlier than it was stipulated by the license agreement. So we are transporting crude through Vrande. But we have refined 42% of crude in Russian Federation, and 42% of crude is being swapped for the crude from Western Siberia, and 42% is currently being refined in Russian refineries in Ufa. After we transfer the license to Bashneftpolis, the idea is that 75% will be refined in Ufa, and 25% of this crude will be refined in refineries of Lukoil. It's a general idea. About Burnyftegaz, the company has access to Transneft pipeline. The company is linked to Transneft pipeline, so here we have no problems and in fact, no choice but to go through Transneft pipeline. About purchase of crude, for forthcoming couple of years, we are definitely going to buy additional crude, because if you make a total of what we are producing, what we are exporting, and what we need for our refining, we'll need some Western Siberian crude to be purchased. About funds, I think Denis Tankevich will answer this question.
Здесь можно так ответить на этот вопрос. Вы все совершенно верно поняли. Мы использовали заемные средства для приобретения Burnyftegaz. Фактически мы привлекли то количество денег, которое нам было необходимо для приобретения Burnyftegaz и для обратного акции. Политика компании финансово состоит в том, чтобы не держать личного кэша на счетах. У нас всегда в качестве финансового резерва используются закомиссионные линии кредитные, которые мы используем в случае их необходимости. Поэтому, как только эта необходимость возникла, мы эти линии использовали и соответствующую покупку сделали.
So with respect to your question about the funding of the acquisition of Burnyftegaz, I will answer in the following way, that you understood everything quite correctly. We used a loan in order to fund this acquisition, and we were able to raise exactly the amount of money which we felt necessary to make this acquisition work, and also for the share buyback. The company's financial policy is not to hold extra cash on our accounts, because by way of a financial reserve, we are always able to utilize the committed funding lines, which we can use whenever we feel like it. And so as soon as this necessity manifested itself, we were able to use those and execute our decision to acquire Burnyftegaz.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Ivan Dus from Sberbank. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for your presentation. Thanks for your answers. I have a question concerning reorganization, especially What is the total amount of cash outflows that the company would face upon buyback of shares and cancellation of the shares acquired through reorganization procedures of System Invest? The second question would be, is my understanding correct that this 53.7 billion rubles of short-term debt that the company acquired in March were used only on the acquisition of Burneftegaz and buyback of shares, or are there any other purposes on which the company intends to use this cash proceeds? And the last question would be, is my understanding also correct that the company intends to raise the total amount of debt, especially long-term debt, refinancing these loans made in March, and not repaying the debt from the operating cash flows like the company did in 2013. Thanks.
Я отвечу на эти вопросы. С точки зрения реорганизации и кэш-аут по выкупу акций, общий кэш-аут по выкупу акций составит 17,9 миллиарда рублей. Это цифра, которая соответствует законодательству Российской Федерации, 10% от активов компании, которые мы должны потратить на этот выкуп. И никакого другого кэш-аута по акциям не будет. Это ответ на первый вопрос.
So Denis Stankevich will be answering these questions. So from the point of view of reorganization and also as far as the buyback cash out is concerned, the total cash out will be 17.9 billion rubles, which is the amount compliant with the Russian legislation, i.e. 10% of the assets of the company, which we are supposed to spend on this buyback. So there's not going to be any other cash out with respect to the shares buyback. This is the answer to the first question. And
относительно долга и под какие цели он был привлечен. Если вопрос заключается в том, был ли это бридж специализированно под эти два выкупа, то ответ нет. Те линии, которые мы брали в банках, могли быть использованы нами под разные цели. Если мы говорим о формальной стороне вопроса, то это так. Если же говорить про сутевую часть, то вы абсолютно правы, мы привлекли эти линии для этих сделок. И, как я уже говорил чуть раньше, отвечая на вопросы, мы собираемся в течение предстоящего года провести рефинансирование этих линий в более долгосрочный долг.
And as far as the debt question was concerned, and what were the ultimate purpose that we raised it for, if you are trying to specifically learn whether it was a special purpose loan bridge for these two buybacks, the answer is negative, because the loans which we took from the banks, we could have used for different purposes. But speaking about the formal side of the issue, that is the situation. But the effective part of our intention was that we took these lines for the acquisitions that have been mentioned beforehand. And as I have mentioned previously, in the course of the forthcoming year, we intend to refinance these two lines and turn them into a longer-term debt.
Если же говорить про общий уровень долга, то нельзя связывать его исключительно и только с этими сделками. Как мы уже неоднократно говорили, мы считаем, что уровень долга, который компания может себе позволить, это долг, который соответствует уровню 2 EBITDA, и мы предполагаем быть в коридоре до этого долга. Какой точно уровень долга сложится на конец года, мы сейчас не будем давать точных прогнозов, поскольку это зависит от тех финансовых результатов, которые мы предполагаем достигнуть.
Это зависит от того уровня дивидендов, которые мы выплатим по решению Совета директоров собрания акционеров и тех сделок M&A, которые, возможно, у компании будут в течение этого года. Одно можно сказать совершенно точно, что у компании есть строгое внутреннее ограничение, что долг не будет выше уровня 2 EBITDA.
And speaking about the overall debt level, one should not link it with the previously two mentioned deals only. As was stated more than once before, we believe that the level of debt which the company may afford is the one that conforms to the 2 EBITDA level, and so we anticipate to maintain ourselves specifically within this range. In terms of what is going to be the exact debt level by the end of the year, we would abstain from giving you a specific outlook because that may be dependent upon the financial result that we intend to achieve, and it will depend upon the level of dividends which we are going to pay out following the decision of the board of directors and the shareholders meeting, and the possible M&A deals which the company may consider in the course of the year. So one thing that we may state specifically is that the company is adhering to a very strict guidance that the debt is not going to exceed the 2 EBITDA level.
Thank you for commentary and congratulations with the results again. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Anton Fedotov from Bank of America. Please ask your question.
Hi, I have a follow-up question on your SPO plans. Can you please provide an update taking into account the recent market volatility? Do you still plan to do this share offering in the second half of this year? Thank you.
I believe we never announced plans about making share offering in the second part of this year. For some time, we are considering the option of making SPO. Of course, we are still considering this option, though no formal decisions were made in this respect. As to volatility of the markets, you are absolutely right. And before we advise the board to make a final decision, we'll take this into the account. But I believe that's all I can say at this particular moment because no decisions were yet made. Thank you very much.
Once again, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from the line of Pavel Sorokin from Morgan Stanley. Please ask your question.
Good evening, and thanks a lot for the presentation. Just a follow-up question, and please excuse myself for the third time asking about dividends, but just to avoid any misunderstanding on this topic, can you please outline the procedure for your recommendation to the board, and just to clarify, how will M&A be accounted in that? I mean, to what level are you ready to decrease dividends, for example, if your net debt EBITDA goes over 2, or any other considerations you may have there? That's one question. The second question, recently there has been a lot of talk about the second phase of the so-called tax maneuver, which could be significantly harsher than the first phase as of 2015 due to the unification, basically, of the tax rules of the customs union. I just wanted to ask, basically, whether you're involved in that discussion and how those talks are developing. Thanks.
Thank you very much for an excellent question about dividends. I feel I would be in much better position if I replied directly to you which amount of money we're recommending the board of directors to pay to the shareholders. It comes to that. You know what kind of cash we had on our balance sheet at the end of the year. You can make an easy calculation of our operational cash flow for this year because you know our production targets, you know aims for our CAPEX, so you can easily calculate that. You know about the acquisition we have made. You know how much money we have paid. You know how money we'll pay to the shareholders for buyback of their shares. There is only one unknown thing in all of that. It's that will be the level which will decide upon. And Dennis has already mentioned that the limit is 2, and you can make a guess. I guess it's between current debt to EBITDA level and the level of 2. I do not believe that I can give you a more precise answer. It will be very easy. We don't need any cash in our accounts. I hope I have answered your question. Thank you very much.
Я отвечу на второй вопрос относительно налогового маневра. Начну с конца. Действительно, обсуждения этой темы идут на различных площадках. Мы знаем мнение наших коллег из отрасли. Для обсуждения внутри профессионального круга используется площадка Министерства энергетики Российской Федерации. Там этот вопрос обсуждается индивидуально и с теми компаниями вместе. Кроме того, мы контактируем с Министерством финансов, где также имеем возможность донести свою позицию по данному вопросу и выслушать позицию коллег. Если же говорить о прогнозах того, каков будет налоговый маневр и какой он будет, как это будет и когда это будет, то считаю, что сейчас об этом говорить очень рано, поскольку дискуссии идут довольно жаркие и, скажем так, существует много разных сценариев того, как это будет происходить. Поэтому мы на сегодняшний день не можем сделать четких прогнозов того, как это повлияет на компанию в целом. Мы знаем различные варианты, мы имеем площадку по отстаиванию собственной позиции и считаем, что диалог в этом смысле налажен вполне неплохой. Предполагаем, что окончательное решение будет принято в том числе с учетом интересов компании «Башнефть».
Denis Sankevich would be answering the second question about the tax maneuvering. And here we would like to start from the end because the debate of this whole topic is taking place at different venues. We are very familiar with what our counterparties in the industry think. For professional discussion, we use the Ministry for Energy of Russia, where this is being discussed individually, you know, with companies as well as a group of companies. We also maintain contacts with the Ministry of Finance where we are able to share our thinking with the Ministry as to our attitude towards these plans. Now, to be more specific and speak about the future in terms of what this tax maneuver might look like and what might be the timing within which it would come into effect, I would state that it is very premature to speak about it because the debate is being quite emotional at times, and so there are different scenarios in place about what course it may take. So at this point in time, we're not in a position to give you an outlook or a forecast about the way it may affect the company. We are able to make our position heard, and so we feel that we are in a very good dialogue with the authorities, and so we expect that the final decision made would take into account the interests of Башнефть.
Thank you very much for the answers. Now crystal clear.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If there are no further questions at this time, please continue.
Thank you very much for participating in our call. We plan to announce our next results on the 2nd of June, and traditionally we will hold our conference call. Thank you, and bye-bye.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all now disconnect.